Do you like my office?
No.
But I hung up your picture.
I hated how it was yours and how you were in it.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 6, 2015. This is Mike Minotti and I'm joined by my brother Ajgai.
Yeah, guys, I'm very proud. You've been doing very well with the date for a long time now.
Yeah, man. Well, it took, 7 years, but I think I caught that down pretty good right now. So, hey, we were doing it with each other for a while. It always made me more nervous, I think.
Do I intimidate you?
Yeah, yeah. You're such an intimidating presence.
I know.
Hello, everybody. We got some news to talk about, including something that just came out a little bit ago, which is interesting, about Zelda.
Very strange.
Yeah, very strange. So then we're going to talk about what we've been playing and look at the releases. And that's going to be the show, so let's get to this weird Zelda thing.
So they're doing a live-action Zelda series on Netflix, according to rumor.
Well, it's like a straight-up report by, who's the one reporting this?
Wall Street Journal, was it?
Wall Street Journal, yeah. Something pretty reputable.
Kind of credible.
But they're also saying it's very early, so this could just be canceled like the zillion other...
like that Metroid movie we never got?
Yeah, or the Bioshock movie we never got, or the Uncharted movie that we never got. So, you know, but still, the fact that, like, this is being this considerably... this seriously considered is bizarre. So, all we know is that it's a live-action... Netflix wants to make a live-action Zelda show... cooperating with Nintendo. What they're going for is supposedly a Game of Thrones, but for the whole family, so nothing like Game of Thrones. So yeah, interesting. So, I mean, Netflix makes some good shows. I watch House of Cards. I like it a lot. I know people like Orange is the New Black. So It's almost like, you know, having the Netflix name behind it is pretty legitimate right now.
Right. So, they're hot.
Right, it's just so hard to imagine, right? Because that would mean so many possible things if this happened and it did well. It could finally, you know, I've always said that I think once one of these video game properties does well in like a different medium, it's going to open up the floodgates, much like how like Spider-Man
comic books,
did.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be weird if this does well. But like, what would it even be? Because do you think they're going to... I can't imagine they're just going to retell, like, a story. And if they do, it's going to be Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. I mean, is Link going to talk?
Well, Link has to talk. It seems like people are way too hung up with that. People are like, but Link doesn't talk. I'm like, oh, he's going to talk. It'll be fine. So people are like, but this is stupid. He's a sound protagonist. Like, oh, God, you'll get over that very quickly. I imagine they're just going to do, like, you know, it kind of works as Zelda already, like, pretty much every game is a quote-unquote reboot with, you know...
Yeah, so they can do their own thing.
Right, they can just...
You know, as long as there's rupees and fairies, it's Zelda.
I think the only... Yeah, they'll have the Zelda, Link, Ganon elements there, and, you know, then they can kind of be free with it, which is why I think it's almost appealing in a way. You know, you can have your different factions.
I mean,
and whatnot.
Again, I like anything else, it could be good.
Well, sure. Any idea
track
can
records,
be good.
You know, make you nervous.
But that's the thing. What track record are we looking at here?
Yeah, exactly. Are we looking at Nintendo's or Netflix's?
Well, even Nintendo's. I mean, what's theirs? They made the one. They license out a Mario movie. I mean, really, there is no track record for this for a live like a supposedly well produced live action show. It's not a property like Zelda.
There's that Halo thing that Ridley Scott worked on.
Right.
Well, yeah, you say it like, oh, yeah, that terrible thing. But, I mean, on paper, Ridley Scott, Halo.
Yeah, but no. Ridley Scott was involved in a very, let's get his name on there kind of way. I mean, look, right. That was never even, that was never a show that was even distributed on an actual channel. That thing was cheap. This is Netflix. It's not going on Halo Waypoint or whatever the fuck it's called.
So now, because there's been all these stories too about how like Nintendo is selling like smartphone games on the 3DS.
I don't know. I didn't read this. I don't know what I don't know what you're talking about.
Like apparently they just posted.
I mean,
like,
happens already.
Another big loss. And so I'm wondering if they're just trying to find other weird revenue streams.
Well, sure.
Because they're usually, I find it odd that they are doing this, because, like, they're usually so guarded with their stuff.
Well, I think part of what you're saying is right. I mean, they already are trying to find new revenue streams. What do you think the Amiibo is?
Yeah. Don't even get me started on this.
Well, they're making money off it. Whatever.
No, they're not.
Well, sure they are.
Well, they could be making a ton more if they were any to buy.
They're making money off it.
Because.
They're making money off
it. I mean,
I
say it in the fact that there's a huge secondhand market because demand is too great and they're not meeting it at all or even acknowledging that it exists.
Yeah, but sometimes that stuff. I mean, look, I'm not exactly a marketing guy, but I'm sure there's some benefit to that. Maybe not as much as just having enough of them, but I don't know. You know, cost money to make things.
Two words for you, Beanie Babies.
Yeah, Beanie Babies were very popular for a while when people
and then they crashed and crashed hard.
Yeah, but this is a little different than that.
Is it?
Sure it is. There's not a zillion. It's these things aren't purely just collectible.
Oh, yeah, no, they're functional, and I can't get them.
Well, there's a lot, and besides that, I mean, this isn't like, these people aren't in the Amiibo business or a game company that's...
I know, but I'm saying, like, so they announced with Xenoblade on new 3DS that if you put a Shulk Amiibo on it, you, like, unlock stuff. I'm pretty sure you can't go buy a Shulk Amiibo right now.
Well, that was not out right now, so yeah, that's true.
That's not out yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then riddle me this.
Yeah, everyone thinks going to be super rare. I think it's only going to be at Toys R Us or GameStop.
GameStop, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'll be super rare, for sure.
So, why? Why is it super rare? Why isn't it just out?
I don't know. I'm sure that they want to limit supply for whatever reason, for some of them.
Like even better, like Chris pre-ordered a bunch of the last ones that came out on our Amazon account. Like, months ago, he pre-ordered them. I got 3 emails because they were unable to fulfill the three pre-orders.
I mean, like, I guess one way you could do it is, I mean, look, a lot of people want Amiibos. Like, that issue hasn't changed. In fact, this might have helped that a lot more. So if they suddenly start slowly increasing the production of Amiibos and now they're out there and people go, you know, oh, look, there's a Marth that's super rare. And then now all of a sudden, all those people who probably were never going to buy a Marth are going to get a Marth now.
Yeah, that last, like, that's like that, what's that? That was a Daffy Duck who was like, yeah, I can only do it once. Like, that's not a long-term proposition.
Well, I don't know if the Amiibos themselves are a long-term thing.
They should be. They could maybe, be. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I think it's dumb.
I don't know. But I'm just not going to pretend I know exactly what Nintendo's thinking with it. I mean, I think it's frustrating for consumers, for sure. I don't know if it's good or bad for them, whatever.
Yeah.
You
want to talk about your Persona 5 trailer?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually I had to get up early to watch this thing so I could report on it. So we finally got like an actual like in-game look at Persona 5. It looks very Persona-y. You know, you have like the classroom setting and the teenagers. You have the mascot character. This time it's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
It
looks very much like it's the Catherine engine.
It is the Catherine engine. Yeah, okay, it looks much prettier. Yeah, like the characters aren't like kind of chibied down for like certain sections of the game. They kind of always have the proportions that they sort of do in, like, you know,
like the animated cutscenes. Yeah,
exactly. What seems interesting was like the dungeon exploration. There's some interesting stuff going on there. There's
a lot of like platforming
with the chandeliers. There's like the short range teleporting cover system thing at one point. So that's all. I mean, you know, it in Persona 3 and 4, that was very kind of no thrills dungeon crawling.
Yeah.
So
I like too how like it seems like when they're in the dungeons, they kind of have like a superhero thing going on, like with their outfits. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like in 4, they all had to wear glasses so they can see in like the dungeons. So yeah, this one they kind of masquerade masks and just like outfits in general. I see. Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I like that idea, again, of them having different personas.
Hey-o.
Law. But, I mean, the pedigree of Persona 3 and 4 is so amazing. I mean, this is...
Do we have a release date for this yet?
They say 2015. I don't know if that's both countries, so, you know, we'll see.
But I remember that was a thing that was like, oh, this game came out in Japan, it might come out in America in 2 years.
Yeah, thank God that's kind of slowed down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. But I don't know. I think it just looks really good. I mean, it's going to be Persona.
Yep.
It will. It's so interesting with that series how, it's a series for me that I love, but, like, I never – for me, like, the series begins at Persona 3.
Oh, sure.
I try to play one. I mean,
think of how many people for whom Final Fantasy begins at either 6 or 7.
Well, yeah, but, like, there's more – like, it almost makes more sense when you go back to those. Like, Persona 1 is very, very different to me. It was hard to get into. There's also the fact that you have things like Persona Q and the fighting game that combine the cast of Persona 3 and 4.
And just ignore 1 and 2 altogether.
Right. It almost just seems like those games didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, at some point, people were like, well, what was Persona 1 and 2 about? Because I know that one has a 3. So, but I'll tell you what, when I was watching, like, announcement for this, they're doing it live in Japan. And, like, mm-hmm. they filled out, like, an arena for this.
Oh, sure.
Crazy. Like, what franchise could they do that for here? Call of Duty and, like, that's it? Where people are, like, freaking out? I mean, just some other things, like Halo and whatnot. But, geez, Persona is big. I mean, God, you know, probably after, like, what, your Dragon Quest and Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if, because in Japan, it doesn't have the Shin Megami Tensei, like, what do you call a subtitle that comes before the title?
I don't know, pre-title?
Label.
Well, you know, like, they needed something to appeal to the Americans.
Well, that's funny, that's what I'm saying, it's like, that was the original thinking, like, we have to get all those Shin Megami Tensei fans on board. Now there's, like, in America, there are way more Persona fans. It should be Persona Shin Megami Tensei 4. Yeah. You know? Okay, what else?
So Sony has sold off Sony Online Entertainment.
That's it. We awkward that they're still called Sony Online Entertainment.
No, they are now called Daybreak Game Company LLC. So it's weird because they have a lot of stuff going on right now too. They just released H1Z1 on Early Access. EverQuest Next is being developed. EverQuest Landmark is in beta. They've been building up hype for the release of PlanetSide 2 on the PS4.
Yeah.
And they still have DCUO going on the Sony platform. Yeah. So, like, it's not like they weren't doing anything.
I think the problem with this company was that it was always kind of a weird fit for the Sony's online entertainment brand because, I mean, a lot of its stuff is PC-centric. I know it gets released on the console sometimes, but it is PC-centric. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense with a lot of the
not others. Necessarily, because, again, PlanetSide console, DCUO,
I know, H1Z1 will be. I said that, but still, I think a lot of that stuff is...
When did EverQuest 1 come out? Like 98?
98, yeah.
Because, yeah, that was... When did the PlayStation come out? 96.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to line up all these timelines in my head.
Right, exactly. I'm just saying that I understand why they're getting rid of it. They were going to get rid of something. It makes sense, especially with the PlayStation 4 doing so well and going all in with that. And I got to understand you can make the PlayStation 4 versions of these games, but you could probably...
Well, they said they're going to, like, first of all, nothing's being impacted by this as far as their development schedules go. And they're going to start putting stuff on Xbox One, too.
May as well.
So, I mean, EverQuest Next could be on Xbox One.
I don't know, but I tried, like, the alpha for EverQuest Landmark, and mind you, it was the alpha, but it was, like, hard
to... Yeah, I was not into it.
I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Well, it was weird, because it was, like, kind of Minecraft, kind of an MMO. There wasn't combat, but there was.
It was, like, hard to, like, get around. Like, there's, like, everything was, like, these islands. You had to find a plot of land.
Yeah,
but, and they were like, just... There's no place to find a good... This is, like, you know what? Just send me to a good... Pot of, you know.
Yeah, like, why do I have to walk somewhere around for 20 minutes where I could start
playing? I get why, because it's cool. It's like, oh, you're going to find the perfect plot. But you're not finding the perfect plot. You're just trying to find a plot.
Yeah, the first one you can get to. It's like the great land rush in the end of Far and Away.
Yeah, it sounds
without,
fun.
Without the John Williams music.
Hmm. Anything else?
Just real quick. Heroes of the Storm is apparently getting ready to... They're teasing Lost Vikings characters coming to the game.
No fun.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I thought they showed those.
No, I mean, it's like a trailer.
Okay, they're not being teased. That wasn't announced.
Yeah, they did show. Yeah, because you control three of them at once. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry, I worded that weird.
You did.
But yeah, I'm very excited because I really like Heroes of the Storm.
Activision did their, like, financials. I don't remember all the details, but they're doing well. World of Warcraft's still above 10 million subscribers, so they haven't...
That's crazy, because everyone thought, like, Warcraft was done. You know, they only had 6 million subscribers.
Who said they weren't done? Who was the one that whole time?
Take the hat off.
The whole time, I was like, oh my God, everybody, shut up about World of Warcraft. Warcraft's doing fine. Yeah, World of Warcraft's going to be good for a bit now.
Yep.
All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk more about World of Warcraft. How's the new raid?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing the new raid, Blackrock Foundry, which has been fun. We got 6 of the 10 bosses down so far.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like it's funny because, like, some of my two favorite bosses are very similar. Like, the one, and they're kind of easy, but they're just kind of fun mechanics. Like, the one you're on these, they're called Hans something and Franz something, and they're Hans and Franz from SNL.
Right. Are they going to pump you up or something?
Yeah, they say all those quotes and they have the accents. But, you know, they're two bosses, but the fight takes place in these four conveyor belts, and there's, like, hot plates coming down, and there's stampers that crash down. So it's very much just, like, a dancing fight. So it's kind of fun.
Because,
you know, it's not like a fight where... Because a lot of times the fights, you know, a fight's more DPS-centric or tank-centric or whatever. You know, when there's a lot of stuff to avoid, everybody's kind of got to do that.
Just running around.
Right. And then another one similar to that, there is a train one where, again, you're, like, on this section with four train tracks, and trains will come... through, if they hit you, it's almost a one-shot kill. Or sometimes they'll stop and drop off ads, and you have to kill the ads for the tank to leave, or for the train to leave, or else otherwise, you know, it's blocking up a large space of the room. That was fun, too.
But that's cool.
Yeah, a lot of the bosses have been pretty neat. I mean, you know, I've done High Mall so many times now, it's just nice to get a change.
Right, right.
But it'll be exciting to finish this up.
Cool.
Big thing for me this week actually was Metroid Prime Trilogy, which I finally really dug
into. Yeah, I got it, but I haven't gotten it fired up yet. But,
yeah, you know, I was like a little, you're a little nervous trying to play Metroid Prime again, because that game came out 2002.
Really?
It's an old 2002, 2003. It's old, man. I mean, it's older than 10 years, hard to believe. See, and you're kind of worried, like, how well is this really going to hold up? Because you think about like other first-person shooters, this is like pre Half-Life 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking like Time Killers or Splitters or whatever, which I know some people love. But man, it's like it holds up so well. I mean, you know, graphically, it looks like a GameCube game kind of. The Wii version looks nice because it has like the widescreen support and all that stuff.
Right.
And you know, it runs so smoothly that it's not really that the graphics aren't an issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
But really. And when I tried the trilogy version on the Wii before, and I didn't really get very far in it, I was having a really hard time adjusting to the Wiimote mechanics. It works like super well now. I think it's because when I was playing this game before, I was in a basement where literally every wall was a mirror.
Yeah.
And that didn't help. But I mean, yeah, right now it's like almost, it's like one to one. It's funny. I'm talking about how cool the Wiimote is.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of cool. I mean, it kind of made me sad because I was thinking about like, man, like, this was kind of a neat thing, and games just aren't ever going to do this again.
Nope.
Or at least for a while.
Train has passed.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's just because the game is so, like, narratively sparse that it holds up so well. Like, you don't have, like, ugly cutscenes.
Bad acting
with
or anything.
Well, you don't have bad animations. That's the thing with a lot of the games. Like, the animations look old.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, once Uncharted came out and kind of revolutionized that area. But you know, it doesn't really have that. It's just a very organic game. You know, you still get that sense of kind of loneliness. The music's still awesome. It's just, especially because I just played Super Metroid this year too, or within the last year. It's amazing how like it really is just like a 3D version of Super Metroid.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that.
Nintendo was better at that than anybody. Just taking a franchise and saying, here's what the 3D version is going to be. And like kind of changing it, but still making it so similar to like the basic idea.
Yeah, they keep the feel alive.
It was something that Sega wasn't good at.
No.
With the 3D Sonic games, there's not really a whole lot there that ties them to the 2D Sonic games.
Yeah, which I think is really apparent when you play Generations.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's Metroid Prime. I'm kind of excited to play through all of them.
Cool.
It's an all-time classic and all that jazz. How about you?
Well, I beat Grim Fandango this week.
No, Grim Fandango.
And it's just so freaking great. Mm-hmm. Now, less than great is the fact that the Vita version is just fucked. I'm mad.
Oh, that's like, just you, though. Is this an,
I
haven't heard about this.
It's well, just like the thing. Error code itself is apparently common. I haven't seen as many people, like, people have had this problem with Grim specifically, but, like, it happens on a lot of cross-save games where somehow the save file's corrupt, but there's, like, nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
And, you know, they're like, you know, you should reformat your system and your memory card. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
And what do you know? It didn't work. So now I have to re-download everything. Awesome.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's just a bummer because it would be nice to be able to jump back and forth like super seamlessly. But
right.
Still, the game, amazing. The remaster is brilliant. I'm going to play through it now with the commentary on and enjoy that. And
I just put together, I got to interview the composer, Peter McDonald of Grim Fandango. McConnell, sorry. Thank you. But I had a very long conversation with him that was super interesting. I think that's going to go up hopefully sometime on the weekend.
He seemed like a cool guy from all the behind-the-scenes videos I've watched in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. I like to talk about him a little bit about the LucasArts days with Michael Land and Clip the Can and all those guys.
So good, so good.
I beat Sunset Overdrive.
How was that for you?
It was fine. It was, you know, it was getting a little long for me towards the end. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a game. You're doing the same kind of thing over and over again. You know, every mission is basically go here and kill people or grab this thing and bring it back, which is fine because it's an excuse, you know, basically just to do the cool traversal and to shoot the fun guns. But it's just a little bit long. I think ultimately I would have liked the game more if the humor jived with me better. There were when the game was like self-aware, it was pretty funny when it was like making fun of the fact that it was a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that, but there's a lot of times where it was being kind of mean-spirited, I guess. I tell you what, like, that game hates nerds. Like, almost every character on it is some sort of bad nerd stereotype.
Yeah, you're right.
Games. There's, like, the LARPers, there's the comic book nerd, the, like, Harvard hacker nerd. There's, a lot of nerds not being portrayed very graciously.
Well, I guess you could say they're the only ones still alive.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, it was a fun game. I guess I wish it was a bit more sincere. Kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that that doesn't really, something that doesn't make sense with, like, the whole punk attitude. But, I mean, you know, you look at, like, Jet Set Radio, Jet Grand Radio, whatever. And, you know, it is kind of sincere in that sort of attitude. And I love that. I love the look and, like, the sound, you know.
Yeah, like I said, it's... feels like playing an old Tony Hawk game in a weird way.
I guess the problem is when you have a game that has that much dialogue and it's trying to be funny all the time, is that when it's not funny, it's not funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's times when it is funny, but...
Yeah.
It was a fun game. It's definitely worth playing.
Cool.
All right.
Hey, you know, I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but did you know a Codename Steam demo came out?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to think. Oh, yeah, the Nintendo game.
Yeah, I like it? Totally missed that. I just downloaded it yesterday. I'm going to play it tonight probably, but I saw it. Oh, it was a key. It was talking about it on Twitter about how good it was. I was like, how'd she get to play it? I was like, oh, there's a demo.
I'm excited for the new 3DS to come out next week.
Friday. It is Friday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it was Friday, but Xenoblade Chronicles got
April 10th or something?
April 10th, yep. Just looking at so that'd be good. I'll play Majora's Mask and then move on to that. And then I guess once the Codename Steam coming out.
Is that in March, maybe? Maybe that's what I was thinking is March.
I'll have a pretty nice...
some good 3DS games coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
No. What's coming out?
Well, not a whole lot came out, you should say. Episode 2 of the Game of Thrones. Which, have you played the first one?
No, I've heard you really need to be caught up in the TV series.
And oh, really?
Haven't started it, so.
Yeah, not even close. I'm finally watching Breaking Bad.
How's that for you?
That's good. It's really great. You know, they weren't wrong. there's not like a whole lot came out.
We gotta play that iDarb together.
iDarb.
The free game on Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be very fun.
I got a review code, some game I'm reviewing. It was an adventure game on Steam. It's called The Book of Unwritten Tales 2. Did you play the first one?
I haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, some sort of German adventure game.
Yeah, fun.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. All right, then. Anything else you want to talk about before we kick it out here?
No.
All right. No. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. You can go to SquadronShame.com. Check us out there. Go to the iTunes Music Store and make sure you leave us a review. We always appreciate that. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.